Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Radio Row Super Bowl 57 brought to you by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. So I decided we're gonna have to take 30 minutes. We'll have a Preds breather right here. Former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi will join us later this hour. But we have to take the Preds breather after the hockey team that cried wolf got absolutely annihilated last night by Vegas. So I went to the NFL's media party last night, and then I spent some time with my friends in Boston. And I decided, though, I was going to take a little bit of a break before I went to the media party. I watched the Preds, and I watched them get smacked. Now, the fact that they got smoked, it is one game. Now, the problems are indicative of what's wrong with the team. But again, it was one game, not the end of the world. But what it does do is, again, going back to how I think they're the team that cried wolf, and although the three-game winning streak, and we had a meeting, and we wipes all that away. They went on their vacation. They went to the All-Star game. They came back. They got smoked at home against a team that if they're going to make the playoffs, which they promised they would, that they're probably going to need to beat. And so they got absolutely murdered last night. 15 shots. Not good. They're not a good team. I'm not surprised by it. But that's not what set me off this morning. What set me off was the Tennessean posted a Q&A with David Poyle. And now they edited some of the answers for clarity, and let's not kid ourselves, David can't talk. But the truth is I feel like if I don't highlight this to you and I don't highlight this for them, they will not understand how off his rocker the general manager of this team is. The hockey expert, as the owner Herb Fritch put it. And the fact that David is not a hockey expert anymore. He is struggling. I think it's, again, Adam Bingen called him this, an unreliable narrator. That's what this is. So let's go, you know, question by answer, just really the five things in this article that really made me mad. First and foremost, David Poyle was asked if he liked where the hockey team was, and he gives everybody the line of nobody's ever going to go 82-0. You ain't close to 82-0. Talks about there's such parity in the league. Quote, it's a huge accomplishment to be able to make the playoffs now. Is it? Half the team in the league makes the playoffs. Dallas made the playoffs last year. They fired their coach after they lost in the first round. Is it really that big of an accomplishment in the NHL to make the playoffs? And you all know the answer is no. And you all know that as fans, you all told the Predators last year, we're done with making the playoffs. We want to have a team that can win in the playoffs. And they promised us that they would build you a team, and they thought they were close, that could compete. Now we know the answer is no. But David Poyle's trying to move the goalpost. There's such parity. Anybody gets in, anybody can win. Really? Because last year, nobody was beating Colorado. The 2 years before that, nobody was beating Tampa. So it really is not that, but it is not basketball where there's two teams that can win it. And it's not, you know, football where everybody that doesn't absolutely stink has a chance, where even the Giants have a chance. But it is a league where you've got to have a good team. And we know the Predators aren't that. So don't give me the whole over the last 10 years, we've won all these games, but no. We don't care. That's the first thing. Again, congratulations on making the playoffs is a big accomplishment. To who? Not a big accomplishment to me. It's a big accomplishment to you. The second thing, he was asked about Philip Tomasino. Here's the question for the Tennessean. Why is 2019 first-round pick Philip Tomasino in Milwaukee after spending a lot of last season in the NHL? Poyle says, quote, he didn't have a really good training camp this year. I think we all had him on paper for our team. The thought process is we needed him to play higher in our lineup, and we gave him lots of opportunities on the top two lines. I felt during training camp, we did not I should say, Poile said, we did not want to have a situation like last year where he played on the fourth line and played 12 minutes and got a bump in the lineup every once in a while. We signed Nino Niederreiter, and he kind of got his spot. Stop. That's a lie. That's not true. Nino Niederreiter was signed to play in the top six. Nino Niederreiter wasn't signed as a depth forward. He was signed as a top two line guy. And they had six forwards for the top six. They had Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, Granlund, Niederreiter, and Tomasino. They broke training camp and went to Prague with Kiefer Sherwood? I get the Sherwoods mixed up. They both stink.
Yeah, it was Kiefer
Sherwood.
Yeah.
Thank you. They broke camp with Kiefer Sherwood in their top six. He sucks. He's back in Milwaukee because he's no good. There's plenty of opportunity. This team got 15 shots last night. You're telling me there's not an opportunity for somebody, if they could play, to get in the top six? Juuso Parsonen was able to do it. So either the Predators don't think he's very good, which I'm convinced of, the Predators don't think he's very good, and they're just covering their ass, which I think Poile does all the time, or they think that Tomasino needs to develop in Milwaukee and not develop in Nashville, which is also ridiculous. So I don't know what he's saying. Oh, he didn't have a good training camp. How long was training camp this year? 2 weeks? You're going to take a guy who played for you last year, who you drafted in the first round, who you pumped up to all the fans. He's our guy. He's our guy. He's our guy. 2 bad weeks of training camp, and now he's stuck down in Milwaukee? Get out of here. Ridiculous. The next thing. He was asked about Elli Tolvanen. Poile said, quote, I've taken responsibility for that. Another player we played pretty high in the lineup for a lot of games, and he always got bumped down. He needs to play on the top lines, and he needs to play on the power play, and then he has a chance to produce. That could go down as a big mistake, but I'll take the heat for that. It's an organizational decision. We just couldn't give him any more opportunities higher in the lineup. First of all, if you have a guy and he can't play for you and he goes to somebody else and he does all the things that he needed to do to be able to play for you, that is not a him problem. That is a you problem. The second thing, David Poile went on Robbie and Rex Road when Elli Tolvanen started playing well at Seattle and said, you know, I might have made a mistake here, and if I made a mistake, I'm sorry. No. This is pro sports. John Robinson does not get to put his hand in the air and say, my bad, I traded away A.J. Brown. No, there are ramifications. This idea of him being able to say, hey, my bad, we drafted a guy in the first round. I hyped him up for 3 years. He had about a two-month period where he saved everybody's ass in 2021. And now he can't play for us because I hired this coach who's never won anything and who's not ever going to win anything and really probably isn't a good coach, but I can't admit that. So we kicked him out of here, and now he's playing well for somebody else. My bad. I'm sorry, but let's move on. No, we're not moving on. No, you don't just get to say, put your hand in the air and say, oh, I'm sorry. And then finally, is John Hines' job in jeopardy? Boy, that one. Oof. Quote, absolutely not, David Poile says. I think our coaching staff does a great job. It's frustrating as to what's taking place this season, but in terms of their work on a daily basis, the preparation of our team, how we want to play, we all share in this. I'm the one who got the players here. So it starts with me, as it should, in terms of choosing the right players. That is the truest thing he said. Of all the bullcrap, that is the truest thing. It is your fault. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to resign? You know the answer. So he's like, with me, I agree. We had 9 guys that had career years last year. We have 0 players having what I would call classic career years. We all need to do better. It should be noted, and I have the cut on my phone. I actually sent it to Ian today, just as like a, you know, every time I hear this, there's this new thing of it's not John Hines' fault that the team and the players that are supposed to play well are not playing well. Except that when he fired Peter Laviolette, Joe Rexroad asked David Poile the question about how much is it the coach's responsibility to get the high-paid players to perform? And David, like any sane person at the time, said, that's his job. And that is the coach's job. And that's what he said he fired Laviolette for. So he fired the good coach, and now he's backing the bad coach. So with David Poyle and the ridiculousness that comes out of this man's mouth about this hockey club and his inability to look in the mirror and see what's wrong with the team. And this isn't an inability that's been going on for a week. This has been going on now for about 4 or 5 years, right? So his inability to do that is one of two things. Either he is so out of it that he has no idea what he's talking about. That when he says something like, Philip Tomasino didn't have a spot in our top six, but he gave one to Kiefer Sherwood, that he actually believes that and thinks that we're going to listen to him tell us that Nino Niederreiter took his spot, even though Nino Niederreiter didn't take his spot. Or he's just trying to move the goalpost because the team stinks and he knows the fans are sick of him and he knows it's time for him to go, but he's holding on for dear life and he's praying that a miracle will happen. That's all I can think of now. That he can't admit. I mean, at least he admitted to the Tolvanen thing, but there should be repercussions for that. The fact that you hired a coach 4 years ago and the guy 3 years ago and the guy hasn't won anything, there should be repercussions for that. And instead, every time he talks, whether it's to the morning show with us or whether it's to the Tennessean here or whatever it may be, it's always something that is dripping with, you have to understand why it's not my fault. You have to understand why you should be okay with this hockey team that is not good. They're not horrible, but they're not good. There's no way you can call this team good. There's nothing about them other than their goaltending that you can say is good. You can't say good. They're not good. And so he is trying to explain why they're not good and trying to provide you some false sense of hope that they are going to become good. And I know you all, and I know you all are too smart. I know you are to listen to stuff like this. Like, oh, my bad for trading away Ellie Tolvanen. And I know we got 15 shots on net, but I mean, you know, my bad. It'll be okay. Why is the first round pick from 19 not on the team? We might have five picks from from our team, five first round picks in Milwaukee next year. How about that? Should that get you excited for Preds hockey? It is falling completely apart over there. Team stinks. They're not absolutely awful, but there's no way to talk yourself out of it. It is what it is. And again, I don't know if David is totally out of it and just doesn't, you know, isn't the same David that he once was. Or if David is so dug in on trying to turn the narrative that he says things that sound so ridiculous. So with that, we'll get to your phones on. You got one segment to weigh in on the press before we're right back again. Mike Lombardi later this hour to the Super Bowl. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. John Hines' job is absolutely not in danger. Wild. We'll get to that coming up next, that David Poyle said that. And of course, your phone, Stillman and Company, right here, 1025, 1063, the game.
Swept down and inside by Alec Martinez. Fed out in front, and the shot and the score, and Vegas has come back to tie the game up at 6:27. He had it stopped with a skate for a moment, then it's poked away by Stevenson. Here's Stevenson breaking in. He scores! The Knights on the transition game take a 2-1 lead here at 6:54. Chandler Stevenson. Here's Carrier, the backhander, and that one stopped by Steros. A battle for the rebound in front. It's in the net, and the Golden Knights have a 3-1 lead.
You know, I thought we got off to a good start, and then we got the lead, and then, you know, I think where it started really in the first was we wanted to play a skill game when there was no time and space. I think when you go back in the first period after that, a lot of turnovers, a lot of east-west plays, and the plays weren't there, you know, and that caused them to be able to transition back.
Maybe all the excuses about, oh, you know, this happened or that happened, or we should have just done this, or maybe we should just admit, you know what, got our ass kicked, because that's what happened. But John Hines, according to David Poyle in the Tennessean, is he in danger of losing his job? Absolutely not. Oh, brother. How? What defense is there of John Hines? And I'm not saying Hines should be fired today, though I had to fire him at the end of last year. I never would have hired him. But more importantly, like, why is he not on the hot seat? Why should he not be on the hot seat? Now, there is one little star of prayer that I may have when it comes to the Predators. Dave Boyle was asked by the Tennessee, how is the ownership transition going between Herb Fritch and Bill Haslam? Quote, it's been excellent. Lots of meetings with he and Herb Fritch. I would say we've met every month since before training camp to go over things. Herb is passing the torch and is very inclusive with Bill. I find it good. Not going to be the same. You'd have to ask him, but I think there's going to be bigger, better things for the franchise. Governor Haslam, if you're listening to me, if you're friends with Governor Haslam, please tell him to listen to the Stillman and Company podcast for this part right here. I say this as a fan of the team. I say this as somebody who grew up rooting for the team. I say this as somebody who, you know, it's good for business when the team does well. I say this as somebody who at the Super Bowl last night watched that crap show on my iPad. Please convince Herb Fritch to make the change. And the reason I say this is because David's not going to do it himself. And I think Herb Fritch is convinced David knows all. And if he says that Philip Tomasino shouldn't be up here and that it's okay, then he's right. If he said we gave Elie Tolvanen every chance, then he's right. And that's fine. But David has lost his fastball. He's lost his changeup. He's lost his slider. He's lost his curveball. He's lost his splitter. He's lost it. He doesn't have it anymore. Just like a player that we'd say, you know, hey, he's gotten up there. He's declining. That's what David is as a general manager. He can't trade. He can't sign. He can't draft. He can't do anything right. Please, please do something and save this franchise. Because the truth is, the idea of talking about the Predators for 30 minutes, if they don't start playing better and they keep bringing out the same kind of, oh, we promise we'll be better, and then they get beat 5-1, we ain't going to be able to talk about them. Because people are going to say, well, they're not going to do anything about it. So it's like having an overweight friend who every day says, my diet starts Monday. We need you to do something about it. And when David Poyle comes out here and says, you know, oh, making the playoffs is a huge accomplishment. Dude, the fans have told you we do not care about making the playoffs and getting spanked for a fifth year in a row. We don't care. Thank you. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Dylan is up next here in Antioch. Thank you for calling. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys. Yeah, Jared, you totally nailed it in that last segment. I mean, dissected every one of those points. So I don't know if there's any self-respecting Preds fan with half a brain that is buying what Poyle's selling anymore. And I was at that game last night. It got to the point where we were just cheering sarcastically in the third period when they would put a shot on goal. I mean, it's gotten so bad, but I just wanted to ring in. And if you don't mind, keep me on the line for a minute. I'll give you your response. Thanks.
Yep. I could not hear what he said at the end there, but I will say this. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that hear what I'm saying. Like, the reason why I'm so mad about this, I know a lot of people sometimes say, oh, Jared Stillman, he's all crazy. He gets all worked up. He's doing it. He's doing it for ratings, and he's trying to stir the pot. The reason I'm so worked up about this is because I'm tired of investing emotionally in this team. Like, I'm sorry that I like him, but I do. I'm tired of losing. Like, I'm tired of losing, and I am tired of the narrative changing. And I am tired of the goalpost moving. You know, John Hines is in no danger. We got to blame the 9 players that had career years last year that got us into the playoffs and that, you know, couldn't win a game in the playoffs after their career years. We need to blame them. Don't blame the coach. And yet this was 3 years ago when Peter Laviolette got fired, and this is what David Poyle said.
How responsible do you think a coach is, David, for players or an individual player to be motivated and to perform at his level?
I think that's his job.
Oh, it's what? Wait a minute. What? So it was the last coach's job, but it's not this coach's job. Guys, like, you're going to lose your franchise and the amount of people who care about it in this city. And I am not kicking you while you're down. I am giving you the dose of reality that you all need to hear. And by you all, I'm talking to the team. I'm not talking to the fans. I know how the fans feel, and the fans are right. If anything, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of the fans. But the loss last night, what was said in the Tennessean, what was said in the paper, honestly makes me 1,000 times more mad than the game last night. And the game last night was bad. But what was said in the paper and all of the easily knocked down, chopped down points, either Poile doesn't have it anymore or he's just trying to spin his way out of last year's, I promise, will be better press conference, and they are worse. And he won't hold the coach accountable, and he won't hold any of the players accountable, and he says he takes the blame, but I don't know if he's holding himself accountable. I truly want them to blow it up. I want them to fire the entire front office, and I want them to fire the entire coaching staff at the end of the year because it's that bad. And I, you know, Kevin texts into the text line, the strategy of not losing fans is now losing the team fans. I want them to do better. I want there to be a plan. I want there to be reality. I want that building to be what I know it's capable of. I want going to games to be fun again. I want to not do things on Tuesdays and Thursday nights because I am watching the game because I am excited to watch it. I am tired of thinking, wait a minute, you have a first round pick and you sent him down? Why? Well, we didn't have a top in the top six. We didn't have a spot in the top six. But you had Kiefer Sherwood in the top six. Yeah, he's Kiefer. I mean, what's your problem with Kiefer Sherwood? You know Kiefer Sherwood was not even a black ace, which is essentially like the practice squad for hockey. He was not even a black ace for Colorado last year. And he started this year in your top six because Philip Tomasino had a bad training camp and had to go down. I thought this coach was supposed to develop young players. And so, I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. I see things like that. I see bragging about 5 first round picks in Milwaukee next year. And I think, who cares about that? Who should care about that? I love my hockey team. I do. But every day, the things that come out of David's mouth that then the whole rest of the organization has to cover for gets more deranged and more out of touch with reality that I feel bad for the people that have to defend it. I really do. I mean, it's time, guys. It's time. And I know that it's not, you think this is fun? Like, you think this is fun for me to get up here and talk about a guy who's the only general manager the team's ever had for 25 years, who people absolutely adore for his personality. You think it's fun for me to be like, it's time. It's not fun. It is not fun. But when I read that article in the paper about the coach is absolutely not in danger, how? How? Oh, it's the player's fault. But it wasn't the player's fault last time. How? How? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. It amazes me that Mike Vrabel is on more than John Hopp. It amazes me. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025. Mike Lombardi will join us at the bottom of the hour, former NFL general manager. Now, there is something that I heard about Vrabel that it's not going to sound like it makes sense, but I actually can completely relate to it. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
Mike, can you talk a little bit about, I guess, the thought of, you know, the hiring Tim in-house versus maybe hiring an offensive coordinator from the outside who might bring in different ideas and a different system?
Well, I'm confident that there will be new ideas, new, you know, concepts. You know, again, there's a lot of things that you can invest your time with. And, you know, we're fairly certain that, you know, where we've invested a lot of our time is, you know, been in one particular system. I know that that'll change in the spring. I mean, this will be a great time to, you know, figure out, you know, how much you want to invest in some of these other schemes and these ideas. You know, you have every offense and every defense, everybody has to have an identity, which is critical, you know, things that you're going to be able to do and then have plays off of it. So, you know, in my interactions and my meetings with Tim, I'm very comfortable that there'll be, you know, continue to do the things that we do well, the things that we feel like we do well that we want to continue and enhance. And then, you know, bring in new ideas that he has, that Arthur, or excuse me, that Charles has, or even other guys on our staff.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about Tim Kelly. And so I do want to share, Mike Lombardi is going to join us in less than 10 minutes. I do want to share what I heard yesterday from somebody in the know. And I cannot tell you who I heard it from. But if I did tell you, you guys would definitely take this seriously. And I was asking about Vrabel and Rand Carthon and how it's going to be and, you know, what's the word on the street, the scoop and everything else. And something that came up was Mike Vrabel hiring Tim Kelly. And the discussion, I said, oh, Vrabel hiring a buddy, you know, that's how he's going to do it. And he said, no. He said, what it is, what I was told, is that Mike Vrabel is very hard on his coaches. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, Mike Vrabel constantly is questioning his coaches. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Why aren't you doing this? Why did you think that? Why did you do this? It is very difficult for a lot of coaches, especially veteran coaches who are set in their ways, to be questioned all the time. It's a level of intensity that not a lot of people are used to dealing with. And I heard that and I thought about it and I'm like, that makes sense. And then it makes sense of why they would go the Tim Kelly route, because Mike knows, or at least thinks, Tim Kelly can do. That Tim Kelly can handle how hands-on Vrabel is. Now, I think Vrabel's got to soften up a little bit, and that he's going to have to let the coaches coach a little bit more, if that is true, that Vrabel's constantly on the coaches all the time. But I can relate because I'm the same way. I was told Vrabel's BS meter is so quick to detect that he is constantly, guys that are trying to fluff him, it's never going to work. You're never going to be able to fluff out Mike Vrabel. And I think, okay, that makes sense, because it probably takes him a while to trust somebody. So once he knows he can trust somebody, then he'll invest. And I do wonder if the Matt LaFleur first-time coordinator hire was a, you know, this guy, you guys know Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is full of it. And maybe Vrabel's thinking, I need guys that I can trust. Not that one interview, you know, can wow me or say a bunch of things, but a guy that I know that day in and day out I can trust, a guy who I can be intense with. And I'll say this, that's how I felt about Caroline when she started working here, was I was like, man, I hope Caroline, what she's getting into, and I hope she knows, you know, I will teach, you know, what the expectations are and how to be successful and everything else that I think and everything that, but just know, like, there's a certain level of energy and expectation on this program. And I think Vrabel's the same way. And I think that's what leads Vrabel to hiring his buddies. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Guilford, who's in Charlotte, up next on the Predators. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Guilford?
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call. I know we're talking about the Titans here. One last thing on the Preds. You kind of hit in the head of the Preds organization, but I'm curious as to what is the Preds organization, even the media members who have defended Cole Smith on Twitter. I've never seen a team defend a certain player publicly and their media members and go halfway at the fan base regarding a player before. Just don't really understand what Cole Smith's bringing to the team. Would love to know in case there's something maybe I'm missing here, but I'll hang up and listen. But thank you.
Yeah, so Cole Smith, I think, represents everything that is wrong with the team, which is – I mean, you take a glass that's half full and they can say, hey, you see? So Cole Smith gives them all the intangibles that they say they want in a player. The problem is he doesn't give them any of the tangibles. He doesn't score goals. He is not an offensive player. He's honestly not very good. And so they, you know, really highlight him because this is what we're about, the intangibles. But the truth is, the reason why you lose is because on the tangibles, the scoreboard yesterday, it was 5-1. And that's part of the narrative changing and the goalpost moving and everything else that I think we're all sick and tired of. That, you know, hey, I promise you all these young players are going to be great there in Milwaukee next year. We'll have 5 first round picks. You guys believe. And it's like, then why can't you stink this year? Why can't you get cap space? Why couldn't you trade for more picks? Why couldn't you? Oh, no, we don't want to do. We want to make the playoffs and lose in 4 games. And that's where everybody else is like, okay. And I think it's starting to, it hasn't reached the level of apathy yet, but I do worry that it's going to get there. I'm worried. I'm worried about the immediate future of the organization. And I think the buying into the tangibles of Cole Smith is a part of that, is a piece of that pie. Mike Lombardi to join us next, former NFL general manager, now with Beeson. He will join us. We'll get his thoughts on Tannehill, Vrabel, Tim Kelly, Rodgers. Is it going to happen? We'll ask him. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company right here live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl, presented by Social Furniture, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman and Company is live back here at Radio Row here at Super Bowl 57, joined now by former NFL general manager Mike Lombardi. Of course, he's on VEASAN, which I get the Lombardi line because I actually have the cable package that has VEASAN. So I will be literally on the treadmill, you know, especially on Saturdays because I'll do some Sirius XM, Mike. And I'll just want to see what people are talking about around the country. And I make sure to put the Lombardi line on VEASAN. And of course, when John Robinson got fired around here, we listened to the GM shuffle a lot. Your insight on there. Great stuff. Thanks for stopping by. And thanks for joining us.
Always good to have it. Always good to have people listen to the GM shuffle. I appreciate you. Thank you.
There you go. Let's start with this. The Titans. Yeah. I know that the top of the AFC is Buffalo, Kansas City, and Cincinnati. The Titans were there last year. The Titans were not there this past season. Do you think the Titans can get back to that level?
Well, I mean, when you say Buffalo, Kansas City, you know, Cincinnati, you say Burrow, Mahomes, Allen. Mm-hmm. Tennessee doesn't have one of those guys yet. You know, now are they going to sign Tannehill back? I mean, Mike Vrabel is as good a coach as there is in the league, but he can't make that go away. He can't hide that, you know, and so until you get that, until Rand Carthon gets that, which, you know, they've managed it a little bit with Tannehill, but they lose the home playoff game because he turns the ball over against Cincinnati. Until you get that going, you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the challenge.
So there's a lot of smoke. I read Mike Sando's column in The Athletic in which he talked about how a lot of league executives are saying there may be some smoke to Aaron Rodgers coming to Tennessee. What do you make of that speculation?
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers is on the Andy Dufresne program right now. I mean, he's going into the tunnel. I mean, Andy Dufresne got sent into the tunnel because he played music. Remember in the warden's office in Shawshank? So, you know, he got sent in that tunnel for 4 hours, 4 days or 30 days. Now this guy's going to do it for 4 days. I don't know what to make of the Aaron Rodgers. Here's the question I have to ask. How do you compensate Green Bay if you don't know Aaron Rodgers is going to play more than a season?
Sure.
Right? So how do you know what he's worth? What will you do? I mean, are you going to trade for a player that's only going to play for 1 year? You're going to give up a good asset for 1 year? I mean, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but you got to weigh all that in.
What do you think of Tannehill as it relates to what else is out there, right? So the Titans could try to go in the draft, but if they do, they're probably going to lose. They could go out and maybe try a Baker Mayfield, a Derek Carr, you know, kind of a similar tier quarterback to Tannehill. What do you make of that given the Tannehill versus the field kind of discussion?
Well, I mean, they know Tannehill, right? They don't know Carr. They don't know Mayfield. The Mayfield's tape is not good. Tannehill's tape's better than Mayfield's. Carr's tape is good, but there's a reason why, you know, he's one of 15 players that have played that long for one team. And 14 of them have gone to Super Bowls or in the Hall of Fame. I mean, they're distinct. When you play for one team in that many games, you typically are that good of a player. So for me, I think what you see is, I think they've got to decide where they're going, what they're going to do moving forward, how they're going to handle it. But Tannehill's an option for them. I'm not sure that Malik Willis is an option. I think he's so far away. Remember, you guys all
got, stinks.
I think you all got A's for drafting him. I mean, every draft pundit said it was a great pick, right? Third round, oh, my God. You know, I think to me, you know, that I would not count on that.
If you had to compare, if let's say Aaron decides, hey, I want to come to the Titans, And Mike, I promise you, I'm going to give you my all. Mike Lombardi's with his former NFL general manager. I promise you, I'm going to give you my all for 2 years. You're going to get 2 years of me. It's going to cost you the 11th overall pick, $30 million more at the quarterback position, and Tannehill in order to get the deal done, because you're going to have to cut Tannehill or trade Tannehill or whatever. What would you rather have? Tannehill, the 11th pick and the $30 million, or Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I would probably want Aaron Rodgers in that scenario, but I also would need to prepare myself for I got to get a quarterback again. You know, but I think to me, I would have a legitimate chance for 2 years to win, especially if I can enhance the team around him. I'm going to have to get better receivers. I can't let A.J. Brown walk out of the building over basically over very little. It wasn't a big amount that he left over. So I got to be able to get that. I got to build the team around him. See, the thing is now where they are with Tannehill, they can develop their team and strengthen their team with Tannehill. Now, they got to hit on draft picks. They can't miss. I mean, one of the reasons Robinson's not there is they missed on too many picks. I mean, they hit on some down the road, but they missed on those critical first-round picks. Is Farley going to be good enough? You know, there's a lot of issues there. So I would lean towards getting the great player. The shelf life would be a little bit more important to me.
Mike Lombardi is with us. What do you make of the fact that Amy Adams Trunk, the owner of the Titans, has come out and said that it's going to be a collaborative effort between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel? And anytime you ask, okay, so who has the final say in the organization? It is a collaboration. It doesn't matter who has the final say. It's a collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. As somebody who has sat in that chair, somebody who has worked with Bill Belichick, somebody who has worked for Al Davis, what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, Al Davis had complete control over everything, and so did Bill. But here's the difference, okay? So you can only dress 46 players, okay? So player 47 to 53, those guys aren't dressing. So if I said to you, look, you take 50, I only want to have a final say on the 51st, 52nd, and 53rd player plus the practice squad. Mm-hmm. You have everything else. To me, that's the way it should be. The general manager, the guy who's coaching the game, wants to dress the players that he feels most comfortable dressing. Mm-hmm. And he wants them on the team. But the player 51, 52, 53, and the practice squad are always for the next year's team. Therefore, player development. And that should be the general manager's domain. That's what Ron Wolf did with Mike Holmgren in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Ron Wolf had complete say to do anything he wanted to do. But he gave Holmgren 51 players, said, you got 51. To me, that's the best policy, and I think you can. At the end of the day, it's not that complicated. The coach has to control who's playing for him, and the players have to know they work for him.
Mike Lombardi's our guest. You said Vrabel's a tremendous coach. You worked for Bill Walsh. So you saw, I think Bill Walsh and Belichick are probably the two best coaches, you know, over the last 40 years. What is it about Vrabel that you see that makes him a tremendous coach?
Because he sees the game from 35,000 feet. He coaches all three things. You know, during the Vietnam War, there was a plane that the government developed that was called the F-105. And that plane could fly fast, it could carry heavy bombs, and it had great range. Mm-hmm. The problem was why the Air Force called it the Thud is because it couldn't do all three things at the same time. Okay. So to be a great head coach, you've got to run your offense, run your defense, run your special teams all at the same time and understand and intertwine all those three things. And I think Vrabel can do that. I mean, I think, and I sent him this in a text, I think the game against Kansas City should go to the Hall of Fame. Malik Willis gets one first down with after 6 minutes gone in the second quarter for the remainder of the game. Mm-hmm. And yet that game goes to overtime. The Chiefs have 19 third downs. They gained almost 500 yards. They couldn't run the ball. They were 2-for-4 in the red zone, but they got that game to overtime. That's a remarkable coaching job in a three-level level.
What do you make of Derrick Henry and how much longer you think he has to play at the level
he's playing? Well, he's defied all odds. I mean, every time you've ever looked at a running back and who's game has 400 carries and next year he falls on his face, this kid gets stronger. Now, here's what I would say is it's hard to win. It's hard to score points when you were trying to run the ball. Running, what you want to do is you want to throw to get the lead. Mm-hmm. You want to run to keep the lead. Mm-hmm. So I do think they have to expand their offense to where they can make more plays in the passing game.
Do you think that given how much longer Derrick Henry probably has, because I think he's going to be 29 this season, that would play into the Rodgers discussion of if Aaron promises us two more years, you can't expect more than two more years with Derrick Henry. You might as well give it a try.
Yeah, I think it depends on the value, right? I, I think there's tremendous value in getting him, but you're going to have to convince him that you can run a system of offense that he's conducive to. Because remember, the hardest thing for any of these old quarterbacks is to change what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to call a different play in a language that you're not used to calling.
Though LaFleur came from Tennessee, they run the LaFleur offense. I wonder if that would be helpful for Aaron.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that offense LaFleur ran at Tennessee, you watched it. That wasn't very good.
No, he was terrible.
It was horrible. I mean, like, I don't know how he got a head coaching job. I said that numerous times.
He played Deion Lewis over Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of ridiculous. Mike's with us. How important is the owner? Let's say you're the general manager of the Titans. You're Rand Carthon. How important is the owner in the Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers drafting a quarterback discussion?
Well, I think the owner has to give out the mandate of, look, I want us to be, this is the kind of team I want us to be. And then it's Rand Carthon's job and Vrabel's job to fulfill that. The philosophy has to come. Let's take this game, for example. Jeffrey Lurie believes in offensive and defensive linemen. That's what he believes in more than anything. So they put their resources in that because that comes from him. That's not going to change. And because it comes from him, they do that. And I think that's what the owner has to do. Here's where we are. Now, look, everybody in the league knows you got to have a quarterback to win. Do you need an owner to tell you that?
No. What do you think about the quarterbacks in this draft?
I mean, I missed the memo that little quarterbacks are back in vogue. I missed that. I didn't know. You know, I mean, Bryce Young's a really good collegiate quarterback. He's 185 pounds, maybe 190. I don't know. He's under 6 feet. I think it's hard. 70 quarterbacks placed this year in the NFL, the most since the strike. That means the durability and the health of these quarterbacks is a question. You take a little guy, that's going to be even more a question.
Why is it that we keep playing football? You know, we keep practicing less and we keep getting hurt more.
Because we practice less. We're not resilient. That's why do the NBA guys get hurt all the time? I mean, do you remember growing up in the NBA? Do you think Dr. J took a week off?
Jordan played 82 games except for the year that he broke his foot.
And played 38 minutes a night. You try to take Jordan out of a game.
Yeah.
I mean, because you build up resistance. You build up, you know, iron on iron makes it harder. We now, oh, my God, we can't get them hurt. And we're not ready to play.
Mike Lombardi is with us. So I'm a big fan not only of the GM Shuffle and the Lombardi Line on Beeson, but I do weekends on Sirius Mad Dog Radio. You're on with Mad Dog on Fridays.
Love it, yeah.
And he beat you in the picks this year.
Thank you.
That he made a big deal about, so I had to throw that out there. Yeah. But you're here with DraftKings, so give us the scoop on Beeson and DraftKings.
Well, it's been a great partnership for us at Beeson. You know, I started with Beeson years ago when it first started out. It was the second year with them, and it's been great for me, for my career, because I get to talk about football, and I get to handicap football like I did when I worked in the league, although I don't bet. So when you're a personnel director in the NFL, you basically break down teams, strengths, weaknesses, how does this match up? Every game's different, and that's really what we do on VSiN. You know, we have guys that do great things in basketball, football. They have all that knowledge. I focus mainly on football, and I pick on the 76ers.
So that is when I used to do the show with Floyd. You know, that was the thing that people say, how can you work with him? Because he's crazy, and he's got all these takes and everything. And he'd say, they get to talk about ball for 4 hours a day.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I mean, when I worked on my uncle's trash truck, that was hard.
Mike, thanks for stopping
by. Thank you.
Great stuff. And again, that's VSiN. I've got it on YouTube TV because I got Red Zone Channel, so I got the sports package. VSiN's on there. We carry VSiN programming on 94.9 The Fan. And, of course, the Lombardi Line, as well as the GM Shuffle podcast. Am I missing anything?
No, I think Daily Coach.
Daily Coach.
Daily Coach every day. Yeah, we write the Daily Coach every day.
There you go. Mike, thanks for stopping
by. Thank you.
Stillman and Company, more from Radio Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.